with some good singing, wasn't it? That brother Jordan surprises me every time he picks up that guitar and sings. I remember the first time I ever heard him, like, what in the world? Where'd that come from? Just a mighty, mighty gift of singing. And Sister Brittany and Brother Tim, just the way they can harmonize together and work, it's just awesome. I look at my family sometimes, I'm just like, sorry. I just don't have the musical quality. I got the but I ain't got the sound. But I tell you what, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. God bless the Hughes family. Good to see you guys. Y'all just make yourselves at home, and we'll just pray that something be said that'll make you feel just all warm and good inside on the way home. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, and we'll go right into the reading of the Word. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity to be here this morning. I ask you to help me get myself out of the way. Help me to rest under the inspiration of your Spirit this morning, that you can just utilize my flesh, Lord, and speak what you want spoken and the way you want it spoken, Lord. Lord, let every word fall on a deep, fertile ground, Lord. Help them to grasp, to see what is the message this morning. Not just hearing the words, but what is the message that's being preached this morning. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I want to speak to you on a thought this morning, the favor of God. The greatest blessing in this life is to find favor with the Lord. There's a lot of people that are in church this morning. There are a lot of people that have Bibles. There are a lot of people that will assemble together. They'll do great things. And we're doing that. I think it's a wonderful thing. I commend them for doing that. But the most important thing we have in this life is to have favor with the Lord in what we're doing. So if it's a job you're doing, no matter what it is, you want it to be, am I in God's perfect will in what I'm doing? Because if you are, you're working with God, and you're working according to God. A lot of times you can try to do something in your own, and when you're trying to do it yourself, you'll find you're bucking against a brick wall a lot of the times. And I don't want to find myself doing that. I want to find myself being utilized by the Lord and finding myself having favor with the Lord. You'll hear the prophet say many times, he'll say in his service, he said, we're praying this morning, he said, we are asking that we can find favor before the Lord, because somebody would need healing. Someone that's desperately needing the healing in their body. That's a person that has an absolute need. It's something that the Scripture says it would supply. But just having that's not enough. You must have the favor of the Lord. And we want that in our life. And we got a few scriptures we want to read. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 28, verses 19 through 27. Starting in verse 19. For the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel. For he made Judah naked and transgressed sore against the Lord. And till Gath-Pilneser, king of Assyria, came unto him and distressed him, but strengthened him not. For Ahaz took away a portion out of the house of the Lord, out of the house of the king and the princes, and gave it unto the king of Assyria. But he helped him not, and in the time of his distress, he trespassed yet more against the Lord. This is that king Ahaz. For he sacrificed unto gods of Damascus, which smote him. And he said, because the gods of the king of Syria helped them, therefore will I sacrifice to them that they may help me. But they were the ruin of him and all of Israel. And Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God, and cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God, and shut up the doors of the house of the Lord. And he made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem. And in every several city of Judah, he made high places to burn incense unto other gods, and provoked the anger of the Lord, God of his fathers. Now the rest of his acts and all his ways, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Ahaz slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city, even in Jerusalem. But they brought him not to the sculptures of King Israel, and Hezekiah his son reigned in his stead. Now, this man, Ahaz, he was a man that was given the authority to lead his people to victory, to lead everybody that was under him. This was not a man that was just thrown in position and say, okay, no one's ever done this before. You take this and you run with it now and make the best of it to see if you can find favor of the Lord. This was a man that had fathers before him. He had all the way up to King David. And King David showed them, this is what you can do to conduct yourself in such a way that God, you will find favor with God. This is how you can conduct yourself. So this wasn't a man that was just thrown a bunch of bones and said, figure it out. This was a man that was given something. He was given the opportunity. He was given the position. And what he did with that position, and you see what he did, he brought failure to not just himself, but everybody under him. And we're reading the scriptures how that we must continue in the scriptures. We must continue in the faith. We must continue in the word. Because if we don't, we can find ourselves in the same shoes as Ahaz. Where we were given a position of, well, because the victory that was given him, it was given him that he could bring peace to families' homes. Imagine that. It's a man that had a position that could actually make change. How many times do you hear politicians say, I'm going to make change. You put me inside here, I'm going to bring peace, I'm going to fix your roads, I'm going to do all these things. Vote for me because I'm going to do it, and that's the only thing they'll ever do anytime they get in office. This was a man that was kind of like that, but without a doubt, they were looking and saying, what will he do? What will this man Ahaz do with this position that he's been given to him? Ahaz did not want to go into the house of the Lord, but not only did he not want to go there, he shut it up so nobody else could go in there either. Does that sound familiar? Jesus talked to the Pharisees and Sadducees. He said, you know what? He said, you won't go into the kingdom of God yourself, and you shut the door so nobody else can go either. This word has been given, and many people are assembled in churches today, and they are trusting in the ministry that they're sitting under to teach them the truth and tell them the truth. As children, we'll look to their mommy and their daddy as a leadership. They're so looking to them, show me the truth, show me the way, because their confidence is in them. And imagine, this was a man that held a position that could show them the truth. He could be their life or he could be their death. And it was the character that was on the inside of him is what would display what he had. This was a man that had the ability to bring peace. David demonstrated how and what to do to be right in the sight of the Lord. For David was a man after God's own heart. Is that right? Ahaz was not a king that was just thrown a position to figure it out. He saw demonstration after demonstration after demonstration of the kings before him of what they did, and he saw the results. But he didn't even pay attention to it. He said, you know what? I'm going to do it my own way. I'm going to serve God my own way. You know, I used to build fences with my dad, as I told many of you. And if you're going to build a fence, if I'm going to build a fence from here to the back, if I want to look right, I don't just take a T-post and drive it in the ground. I say, well, that looks close enough. Let's see. I'll drag another T-post. Yep, that's close enough. Yep, that's close enough. Yep, that's close enough. If I was to do that, that fence would be so squirrely, I'd be so far off the mark by the end. The further I go, the further off the mark I would be. I would have to have a guide. I would have to have something that I can align myself with to make sure, am I working according to the guide? Because if you just go by feelings, brothers and sisters, you will get off base very quickly.
That's right.
You will find yourself more and more and more, and all the time you're going by feelings. But I feel this is okay with the Lord. I feel this is okay with the Lord. I don't feel convicted about this. I feel okay. This is okay. I don't feel convicted. This is okay. I promise if you do that one step at a time, one step at a time, one step at a time, you'll find yourself far off base. I can imagine if you was to talk to Ahaz at the beginning of his reign, he'd say, Ahaz, what's your intentions? I'm sure if he talked to him, he had goals of saying, this is what I want in my family. This is where I want to be. I promise you, well, I can't say I promise you, I bet. But he wouldn't say, I want to destroy this kingdom. I'm going to wreck this kingdom. I'm going to ruin people's lives. I'm going to bring havoc. He would never said that. He'd say, you know what, I'm going to be a good king. I'm going to set people free. I'm going to have people be happy. I want this. Intentions, you can be intentioned and be sincere and be sincerely wrong. And there's a lot of people today in ministers right now sitting under churches that are sincere. And you can be sincerely wrong. Because these men had their trust in Ahaz, this man that was over them. And looking at what he was doing. They were trusting. How many people on rapture morning They're trusting in their ministry to tell them the truth to get them ready for a rapture. Brother and sister, help us to gird ourselves to hold our ministry up and pray for our ministry. Teach me the word. Tell me the truth. Amen. Don't worry about my feelings. I'll get over it. I may whine for a little bit, but I'll be okay. I used to have a dog. I used to train that dog. I remember that dog, when you try to teach him how to not potty in the floor, and you do it outside, and I'd whoop the fart out of him. And he'd whelp for a long time, but after a while, guess what? He quit doing it. He had two choices. Quit doing it or get stay out of the house. You know, and as a child of God, you got two choices. Take the whipping and line up with it, or just, which Lord ain't going to lose you. Just keep whipping, you know. But I'd rather come the easy way. You say amen.
Yeah.
These people were trusting in this ministry to tell them the truth. They were trusting in Ahaz to do what was right. But Ahaz led them wrong. I want you to look at Brother Brent says. If you notice, wherever you see men begin to multiply, people begin to get together, great gatherings of people, and remain, like cities becoming populated, more population. The first thing you know, it begins to bring in devices for recreation. And from that, it goes into gambling, and from gambling into drinking, from drinking into prostitution, breaking up of homes, marriage, divorce, then murder. It just keeps growing, 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 like a chain of no end. When God walked with just man alone by himself, he had favor with God. But when man began to multiply, began to get others and others, and they began to, Satan having more of the reins to work in, this mind might believe a little bit leaning that way and the other way and a little bit this way. And when Satan comes in, he just fires it on. Then it becomes this and that. Imaginations begin to come great. Then corruption sets in. It's when God can get man to walk alone, that's when man can find favor with God. And that, brother and sister, that's the thing the devil will fight more harder on us more than ever now, is to get you alone. Where you can walk alone with God, where everything can settle. Because how many times have you gone through a day, and maybe you said something, maybe it wasn't exactly right, or something just didn't exactly right. But at home, and during your time with the Lord, you're like, you know what, I wish I didn't do that, Lord. Because you got in the presence of the Lord. And you said, Lord, I didn't mean to do that. And you find yourself realigning yourself constantly with the Word of God on a daily basis. Am I the only one that ever does that, or you guys just? You'll find yourself on a daily basis, whenever even you're trying to do your best to do right, you'll find yourself getting off track just a little bit. But whenever you're walking with God, you find favor with God. Lord God, I didn't mean to do that. I didn't mean to get off. How many days did Ahaz have to go before he kept going off track, off track, off track, off track? If he would have took one day and took it along with the Lord could have said, oh, son, look, but you got, look at this, look at this, look at this. But day after day after day, that no communication with God, where he was not walking with God, he did not have favor with God. Many people have scriptures, but they don't have the favor of God. The Pharisees and Sadducees had the scriptures. They could quote it better than all of us, but they didn't have favor with God. And many people in the today, they will have the message, the greatest thing that we've ever been given, the message of the hour. But if we don't want to find ourselves just having the message, I want favor with God. Amen. Favor where God is talking to me, God is communicating. And evidence that I have favor with God is when I'm walking with God. Yeah. Is that right? Because he won't walk with you if you don't have favor with you. If you don't like somebody, you can walk with them. How can two walk together except they agree? Right? When God walks with man alone is when man finds favor with God. It is so important for us to make time to walk alone with God. We must have a guideline to gauge our walk with the Lord. Ahaz should have taken notice of the kings before him and conducted himself according to that. He should have looked at the kings before him and saw this works. This doesn't work. And that's what I talk about. All scripture is profitable for doctrine. I thank God that we have that. I can look in the scriptures and see where they made mistakes and say, boy, that was a dumb mistake.
That's right.
How many times have you looked at scriptures and you can look at somebody else's life and see them making mistakes and say, boy, they're making a dumb mistake. But then if you were to turn that mirror and look at you, you probably made a dumber mistake than what they're making. But we've got scriptures that we can look at and see if something works.
I'm going to show you something. We had people that were in the meetings of Brother Brenham. They heard the meetings. They met the man. They shook his hand. They sat beside him. They went hunting with him. They did all these great things with him. They heard firsthand from the lip to ear of hearing the things that he said. But then look at the doctrine and how far off they are off base of what he preached. And they were right there with him. So not just being with Brother Brown, you can wear his pair of shoes. It still won't do no good for you. God's not going to look at you. You know what? You got everything else wrong, but you got his shoes on. You got his belt buckle on. That means something to me. I see an eagle belt buckle. Well, that's not so much of a thing. Maybe there's some places, but I know for a while, about 20 years ago, that was a big thing. You had to have the eagle belt buckle, and you had to wear the certain hat. You had to walk a certain way, and this thing's making all kinds of noise. I just move too much. That's all there is to it. What is that? Move? We'll just ignore it. Ahaz, he worshipped other gods himself, but he not only did he worship, find himself worshiping other gods, he put the other gods throughout the city for everybody else to worship them. He didn't just stop there for himself. He put it out for everybody underneath him to worship the same gods that he was worshiping. And when you take a man that goes into corruption and a ministry that goes into corruption, they won't just corrupt themselves, they'll corrupt everybody underneath them. That's why we've been given a message of purity where it shows a Holy Ghost in fire, where you can actually burn out that old nature of that old man, where it's a new you. I know the old me, and I'm telling you something, you wouldn't want to hang around him. The old me, the old Daniel, he was the guy that would be building the fence the other way until finally, Lord, I remember my dad building that fence. My dad let me do it. My dad was a hard man in some ways. Soft man with the grandkids. He sent me out there and told me, he said, I want you to build this fence. He showed me where it was. Dad left and just left me to do it. And I built that fence exactly how I explained a while ago with driving a T-post and eyeballing the best I could. And I was pretty proud of myself. I worked hard all day long, and I was probably 12, 13 years old. I built this fence all the way down here, fighting the cattle and everything else, getting ready to stretch the barbed wire, and my dad comes up on the tractor, and I think, boy, Dad's going to be proud of me. And Dad looked up, and he said, what in the world have you done? I said, I built the fence. He said, Daniel, look at that. What's wrong with it? I said, I ain't got wire on it. Fix it, Daniel. Get on the tractor. We got on the tractor and we drove to the end of the deal and we looked down the end of that fence from end to end, and that poor fence went just like that. Just the squirreliest fence as you ever saw. And I thought the gracious heavenly or earthly daddy that he was going to say, all right, let me show you how to fix this. We're going to pull these T-posts out and I'm going to show you how to do it right. No. Dad said, pull all the T-posts up and do it again. He said, this time, line it up with the end of the pole. And it didn't stretch line. I said, oh my gosh, that makes common sense. Somebody can point something out to you that's something you've been doing dumb for so long, and you look at it like, this makes absolute perfect sense. I realized then how much common sense it was. You've got to have a tie post of something back here, and you've got to have something down here of an end goal of where you're going to. Because if you are not looking toward an end goal, you're just stumbling through life.
Amen. That's right.
And if you're just a young adult, trying to make it through life, and you don't have a goal like that, brother and sister, listen to what I'm saying. You're going to find yourself 10 years down the road, and all you're going to do is a bunch of squirrely and a bunch of wasted time. You got to have a goal to where you're going. You got to have a tie post. You got to have a vision. You got to see where you're at. And the best thing you can do is be honest with yourself and say, where am I at? And if you can do that in a natural life, brother and sister, God has given us a gospel to where we have got a finish on. What is the end time goal? It is to take a body change. It's not to just fill the church. It's not just to go to church, because you can find yourself doing, as I mentioned the other day, running on the treadmill. You can find yourself going, and 10 years later, you haven't made any changes that you need to make. Ahaz, because he was not looking toward the end of the goal, he wasn't looking at, I want an established kingdom for my family. I want an established kingdom where they can find rest, where there's plenty of water, there's plenty of bread. He wasn't looking at it that way. Ahaz was living day by day, and if you look at the scriptures, he wasn't finding the blessings of the Lord upon his life. So he started turning to worldly things to try to get victories in his life. And that's why he started to devote himself. People many times will find themselves, they're not fully committing themselves to the word. and they're not getting the blessings. And so they'll turn a little bit to the world, just a little bit, give a little bit, and the devil will stop fighting. Who knows that's right? The devil will pull back. Whenever you start slacking off, you think that devil's going to fight you? That devil's going to help. He's going to let you keep getting further and further and further and further. And he began to do this, and he began to put this Ahaz began to put confidence in the world and other gods. I'm saying, I have the victories in my life because of the other gods. And not only did he do that, he put that on the other people, on everybody under his kingdom. He put it under them that we have the victories that we have because of these false gods. We don't need entertainment of the world. We don't need these things. Is there no bomb in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Whenever we have a need, brother and sister, which is what we need to have the faith to come to God and say, God, give me the healing. Give me the healing that I have need of right now. Because if we don't, we'll find ourselves, well, we're just turning to the world. We're turning, well, it just has to be this way. No, it doesn't have to be this way. We have to hit it nail on and say, you know what? I have got this obstacle in my life. I want victory over this thing in my life. I want the peace in my home. I want the joy in my home. I want the joy in my marriage. Don't turn to the worldly entertainments to boost that marriage up. God, give me the joy of the Lord in my marriage. Give me the joy of the Lord in my children. Don't turn to the world entertainment and say, well, I'll make this bunch of money. If I make a bunch of money, then I'll really be happy. You're fighting, you're chasing a beach ball. God, help us to not find ourselves in the position that Ahaz was. We're fixing to get to where I really want to, but I want to nail this down as much as I can. We don't want to find ourselves as Ahaz was, where we have been given the example of the believer, of how to conduct our life, how to conduct our ministry, how to conduct our marriage, how to conduct our children, how to conduct with our father, our mother. God has given us a message. We have an example. Don't try to do it our own way. We got to put things in order. Because when you put it in order, you will find favor with the Lord. I want favor with the Lord, brother and sister. I remember when Elijah was so sick, we were in the hospital month after month after month after month. With pneumonia and this and this and this, all constantly, over and over and over. And I could quote the book of Revelations. My wife would sit there with the Bible and say, and I'd hold it to you, and I would sit there and quote it, and it didn't do me one ounce, iota of good. I could quote it all day long, but if you can just quote the message and that's all you got, what have you got? And it hit me like a ton of bricks. I said, I can quote this all day long. I said, but I don't have the faith to pray and this baby be healed. And then I realized, God, I need favor with God. I need the revelation from God. I need God. I need something more than what I've been settling for. Brother and sister, we need favor with God. And as I see that, I told my wife, I said, baby, I said, we got to change something. I said, we're trying to do everything intellectually, but we're missing it. The Pharisees and Sadducees had the intellects. The woman at the well, she was a little woman that was had just a little bit of hope inside her that there's something different. But the difference was, whenever the Spirit come across both of them, the intellects called him a devil. But the woman at the well said, this must be the Messiah. She found favor with God. What was it that gave her favor with God? Was it because she knew all the quotes, all the scriptures? No. The guy that knew the quotes in the scriptures didn't have favor with God. Because any time he saw a real move of God coming in his midst, he didn't even recognize it. Said, this guy must be dumb. He needs to get alone. If this guy was really something, he would say this. He would act like this. The Pharisees and Sadducees had a preconceived idea. When the real, genuine Holy Ghost comes into this church, he'll act just like this. And then here Jesus Christ was, the one they claimed to serve, everything pointed to. He come right in their midst, and they didn't even recognize him. This is just Beelzebub. This is just a devil. This is a nothing. This is a fluke. This is nothing. But the same movement come across the little woman. He said, go get your husband. I don't have a husband. Right, you've had five, and the one you're with now is not your husband. And something inside her said, I perceive that thou art a prophet. It was something inside of her that found favor with God. What was it that found favor with God? Representation.
The Pharisees and Sadducees had all the intellects, but they did not have representation. And the woman at the well had all the faults, all the failures. She didn't know a whole lot of scripture, but she had hope, something inside her, and said, there's got to be something more. And whenever that crossed her path, something grabbed a hold of that and said, I believe that. You say, amen. How many of you were walking so righteously when the Lord got a hold of you? I was a mess. I was a train wreck. If you were looking at my senior class, they had a 20-year anniversary yesterday. 20 years. I didn't go. I'm bad about not going to school. I still don't go to school. I had to work. But that 20-year anniversary there, all those kids, many of them, brother and sister, whenever we were going to school to that, they were going to church. Some of them were preachers in school. They were doing Bible studies in school. What was Brother Daniel out drinking, doing all kinds of nonsense, baggy pants and piercings and doing all these things? If we were to look at that, which one would have favor with God? These people at a young age going to church, preaching, doing everything. And look at this fool over here. This fool over here is drinking, doing all kinds of nonsense. But why? God, I found favor with God. Because I was doing something right? No, because of who I was. I was his child. I was always his child. I had to come and recognize his child. And brother, sister, that's exactly the way you are. You have favor with God because of who you are. You are his son. And many times, my kids, they went through a small way. Not saying many times. I was a pretty good kid. Thank the Lord. There'll be some times you look at your kids, you're like, this is what I want you to do. I don't want to do that. I want to do this. This is what I want you to do. It's hot outside. I ain't going out there. I'm throwing you away. Dylan, I'm done with you. You want to sit there and play with that computer? You're gone. Right away. I never did that. Because he's my son. And he has favor with me because he's my son. And even though he thinks, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Daddy knows how to put the pressure on. So one day he'll say, you know what, Daddy? I see the light. You have favor with God because of who you are, not because you've been righteous.
Right.
And that's where the message churches down the ages have got it wrong. Because they come to the point saying, we're right. We got favor with God because we've got the truth. No. You got favor with God because you're his son. And because you're his son, he gave you the truth. Is that right? Because Pharisees had the truth,
right.
The words, but they weren't his son. And what makes the difference is you are his son. You are his daughter. So that means in your fault, in your failures, whenever you feel like you can't seem to do anything right, you still have favor with God.
Right.
Why? You are his son or daughter. Amen.
Amen.
And if you are his son or his daughter, you will want his word.
Amen.
That's right. Because it's something on the inside of you. This man Ahaz, this was a man that was given the authority to set the standard for people to have favor with God, but instead corrupted himself and everyone under his influence. Now, as I mentioned a while ago, we have favor because you're his son. But let me ask you something. Is there anything that you can do in yourself to gain a little more favor from God? My wife has favor with me. But there's things she can do. She can get a little more favor. My wife knows what I like to eat. The way through me is through my belly. I can have the worst day going on, and she can cook me some fried chicken, and all of a sudden, those bad things start to dwindle away. Because she knows how to conduct herself. She knows how to communicate with me in such a way that she can gain more favor with me. My boys, as I mentioned, they have favor with me because they're my son. There was other boys out there that would love to step in there and do the job, but I didn't do them because he's my son. He's got my favor, but there's things that boy can do to get more favor from me. And I'll tell you what, whenever you've got something that you need a need from God, you can just say, well, I'm God's child. I guess I've got favor. I guess I'm his son. No, there's things that you can do to gain more favor from God.
And that is when you can humble yourself to his precepts. And you humble yourself to his way and say, God, I need this. I need a touch from you, Lord. I need a divine healing in my body. How many has ever been received a divine healing from God? Absolutely. I'm talking about an absolute divine healing. How often do you hear about that anymore? Of divine healing? Is it the same God?
Amen.
Well, Brother Daniel, we're past that. We're beyond that. No. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
He's the same God. He does the same healings. He does the same things. But the difference is we started looking for, we're making the mistake of looking, well, when my healing comes, this is the way it'll come. And a lot of times the healing comes in a way that you don't expect. When my wife at one point had knots inside her stomach so bad, how many remembers that? She got so sick whenever we was going to church in Fort Smith. She was so sick, knots all in her stomach, and my wife's hair was so thick, when I put my hands around her hair, that's no joke, my hands, I've got pretty big hands, and I could barely put my hands around her hair. That's how thick her hair was. And my wife got sick, and her hair started dwindling down, dwindling down, dwindling down, dwindling down, to where I could literally take one finger and put it around her hair. And we're talking of going to church. We're talking praising God. We're talking paying tithes. We're talking about being faithful and doing these things. You're not talking about somebody going out and just doing a bunch of nonsense. We were doing the best that we possibly could do to be in the perfect will of God. I had gone to Honduras and done missions work over in Honduras and prayed for people and saw women healed. People healed of cancers. Prayed for them. Absolutely healed. And then come home and my own wife sick. My own wife struggling. My own wife hurting so bad she couldn't hardly get out of bed. My own wife going through all these and get these big knots inside her stomach that were about like apples inside of her stomach that were so big. And her hair is not, it's not an exaggeration. I could literally put both my hands around her hair. It was so thick. And it dwindled down to where I could literally take one finger and wrap it around her finger, her hair. And all the time I had the scriptures. All the time I had the quotes. All the time I had these things. But in the midst of all this stuff, I was going through a time whenever I said, I need help, God. And my wife said, I need help. And I remember one day I come home from work, working at Williams Chevrolet, and I would just try to just meditate on the Lord on the way home. And when I pulled up to the driveway into our apartment, I remember I pulled outside the front of it, and I could feel it immediately. Something was wrong. And I just prayed for a moment. I said, Lord, help me to be strength in what I can do. And I went inside the door, and I remember I opened the apartment door, and the kids were sitting on the couch, and they were all upset, and they were kind of crying. I said, Mommy's crying, Daddy. I said, he said, what's wrong? He said, it's your stomach again. I said, goodness gracious. I said, well, I'll be back, guys. It was a church night. I went to go to the bedroom, and I saw her and my poor wife laying there on the bed crying. And every time I tried to touch her, she'd just be so upset. I looked at her, I said, baby. I said, what's wrong? I said, I don't know. It just hurting so bad. I said, let's go to the doctor. She said, no, let's go to church. I said, we can do something different. I said, let's go to the doctor. She said, no, I'm going to church. Something inside her said, I'm not going to doctors. I'm going to church because I know where a source is. When you get believers together in an atmosphere, you have an opportunity of a unit that can bring divine healing. We went to the church, and my wife was sitting on this side of the building, and I was sitting there, and my wife was upset. She was just hurting all through the service. They come to a point where she's going to get prayed for, and we was praying with her, and I'm just pouring my heart out before the Lord. And actually, she was standing right beside me when I began to pray. I said, Lord, please help her. Please touch her with your spirit, Lord. And then I felt my wife walk over and stand right in front of me. And it was just like a blanket that came down over to us. And we began to just both just pray. And all of a sudden, it was like a warm oil that come down over me. And I knew absolutely at that moment, my wife was healed. And she went over, and after the end of service, she came over beside me, and she stood up beside me and in the service, and I was just praising the Lord and looked over, and she looked over with those teary eyes, and she said, I'm healed. Praise God. And I reached over, and she took my hand and put it over to her stomach and filled her stomach, and every single one of those knots were gone. Whenever you put believers together in a unit, whenever you are together for to one purpose, whenever you're focused on one purpose, miracles can happen.
Amen.
Miracles do happen. But a lot of times it's our minds get drifted so much. It's so easy to where, well, I got to get through here. We've got an awesome afternoon coming, I'm sure to tell you. We've got an 80-year-old birthday we're going to go to. It's pretty awesome. But even as good as that is, this is most important. So many times, brother and sister, we will carry something around until we, much longer than we had to. Whereas if we would just come to the Lord and say, Lord, I need help with this. Please help me, Lord. Bring my healing and find favor before the Lord. How many times? I'm going to give you all a homework. I want you this week, you study and see how many times the prophet said, help us find favor with the Lord. I want you to look at and see how important it was to the prophet that we must find favor with the Lord. As I was talking about Ahaz had examples that he can look at to how he could build his kingdom, but he didn't do it that way. He did it his own way. We have been given an example in this hour of a prophet that was put in earth in shoe leather, a God in shoe leather that gave us a full demonstration of how a son of God should act. But how many are actually building according to that example? Brother Brennan was a humble man. Was a man that whenever he walked through, he had short videos and he talked to somebody, I need some help with humility. Anybody else say amen? Okay. Sometimes we don't mean to, but this guy right here gets buffed up. Oh, Brother Daniel, I need no divine healing. I'm a believer. I'm a son of God. Until it hits your home. And then when it hits your home, like, oh God, where is that strength at now? That I claimed that I had. How many people under the reign of Ahaz were going through a time when they need a healing? How many people under the reign of Ahaz were going through a time when they had legit needs? But they're looking to him and saying, do it right. We're doing everything according to right. And they go to the church wall, and even the church is blocked off. This was a man that had an example of how to conduct the kingdom, but he didn't do it according to it. Amen. When Ahaz died, Second Chronicles 27:6 says, Ahaz's father Jotham became mighty. I'm sorry, not that scripture. I apologize. 2 Chronicles 28, verses 1 through 27. Hezekiah took over as king, and he began to set things in order. And there's so many times, brother and sister, when we don't mean to when we're in his life, but there's so many times that we need to go back and set things in order. Because you don't mean to. But in life, things start to get out of order. Now, we're going to read this chapter, and I want you to please stay awake, stay alert, and pull from this what we see the Lord wants you to have from it, okay? Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. But he did not that which was in... let me get down here, I can see this better. But he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord like David his father. I gave you the wrong scripture, didn't I, sis? That's right, 28:1-27. Yeah. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and made also molten images for Balaam. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom and burnt his children in the fire after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. He sacrificed also the burnt incense in the high places and on the hills under every green tree. Where the Lord his God delivered him into the hand of Assyria, and they smote him and carried him away, a great multitude of them captives, and brought them to Damascus. And he was also delivered into the hand of the king of Israel, who smote him with a great slaughter.
For Pekah the son of Remaliah slew in Judah and 120,000 in one day, which were all valiant men. Because I want you to realize this, these were valiant men. And they were getting defeated. Valiant believers, I'm going to say it that way, were being defeated because of this man that they were studying under. Because they had forsaken the Lord of their fathers. And Zichri, a mighty man of Ephraim, slew Maaseiah, the king's son, and Achram, the governor of the house, and Elkanah, that was next to the king. And the children of Israel carried away captive of their brethren 200,000 women, sons, and daughters, and took also away much spoil from them, and brought the spoil to Samaria. But a prophet of the Lord was there, whose name was Oded. And he went out before the host that came to Samaria, and said unto them, Behold, because the Lord God of your fathers was wroth with Judah, he had delivered them into your hand, and ye have slain them in rage that reacheth up to heaven. And now you purpose to keep under the children of Judah and Jerusalem your bondmen, the bondwomen, unto you, but are there not with you, even with you, sin against the Lord your God? Now hear me, therefore, and deliver the captives again, which ye have taken captive of your brethren, for the fierce wrath of the Lord is upon you. Then certain of the heads of the children of Ephraim, Azariah, the son of Johan, Berkiah, the son of Millsmouth, and Jehezekiah, the son of Shalom, Amasa, the son of Hedai, stood up against them that came from the war, and said unto them, Ye shall not bring in captives hither, for whereas we have offended against the Lord, already you intend to add more to our sin and to the trespasses, for our trespass is great, and there is fierce wrath against Israel. So the armed men left the captives and the spoil before the princes and all the congregation. And the men which were expressed by name rose up, took the captives with the spoil, clothed all that were naked among them, arrayed them, shod them, gave them to eat and to drink, and anointed them, and carried them, all the feeble of them, upon asses, and brought them to Jericho, the city of palm trees, to their brethren. Then they returned to Samaria. At that time did King Ahaz send unto them kings of Assyria to help them. And bear with me just one moment. I don't want to bring you out and read too much of this. Scripture for chapter 29. Let's go to chapter 29, verses 1. Basically, I'm just rehearsing everything that we said that Ahaz did. When Ahaz died, Hezekiah began to reign. And when he was 5 and 20 years old, he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together in the east street and said unto them, Hear me, ye Levites. Sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord, our God, and have forsaken him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. This was a man that when he began to take reign, unlock his father, he looked at it, he said, I'm looking at what's been done before, and we're not doing this. I've seen what people have done before, and we're going to start cleaning house. And he said, immediately what we're going to do, we're going to go to the Levites. Levites, you're going to start cleaning yourselves. You say, amen. For Levites at the top of the ministry. God, pray for us that we can continue, that we can take the word and purify our hearts, the ministry, that we can purify our hearts. Because if the ministry is not pure and they're not giving the word, then you're going to be under the same thing that they were. Amen. That's right. We don't want to ever find ourselves. I don't believe we have the best of the best ministry here. I'm here to tell you. I believe Brother Tony is the best of the best. So don't take that in that vantage point that I'm saying we need something different than Brother Tony. That is not what I'm saying. Okay? I'm saying we need to pray for our ministry, that our ministry can keep this pure, because the first thing he did whenever he was setting things in order, he said, we got to get the Levites clean. The first thing we got to do, we got to start getting the house clean.
Amen.
Okay? Let's just keep reading through this scripture. I'm going to start with verse 6 again. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. And they also... They have shut up the doors of the porch and put up the lamps, and have not burned incense or offerings, burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah, Jerusalem, and he had delivered them into trouble and astonishment and hissing, as you see with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Now it is in, and I'll stop here for just a moment. We're talking about people that were trying to do right. But because the ministry that was above them was wrong, and they were sincerely under it, saying, we're going to try to do what's right. And even though they were trying to do what's right, they were walking in defeat. How many people are going under a denominational system right now and trusting in it that it's going to teach them and take them into rapture? How many of the people that are going to church are valiant people? Valiant men. How many of you was outside this morning early holding a sign up saying, come to church with us? I wasn't either. How many of you think those people did that just aimlessly? Those people were praying, God, help me be a ministry for somebody to lead them. Help me. Every Saturday, no matter if it's snowing, it don't matter if it's raining, it don't matter if it's blistering hot, right there on Zero Street when 71 ties together, you've got a church there every single Saturday. That's out there. And they're saying, they're preaching to come to church with us. Doing everything that they can, valiant men. And even though they're valiant men, because of what they're underneath, they're walking in defeat. Amen. Verse 7, also they have shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps, and have burnt no burnt incense for nor offering, burnt offering to the house of the holy place and to the God of Israel. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he had delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, to hissing, as to see with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and the sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, be not thou negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, that ye should minister unto him and burn incense. This man is encouraging this people. He's saying, God has chosen you. You've got a purpose in this. You've got a mission in this. You've got a part in this. You've got a part to play in this. None of us have the ability to just sit and coast to the rapture. We've all got a position to do. We've all got something that we can do for the Lord. Amen. Amen. Then the Levites arose, and Mahad, the son of Amasai, the Joel, the son of Azariah, the son of Komathites, and the sons of Merah, Kish, son of Abdi, and Azariah, the son of Jehiel, of the Gershonites, Joah, the son of Zemah, Eden, the son of Joah, and the sons of Eliphim, Shirah, and Jeel, and the sons of Asaph, and Zechariah, and Mattaniah, and the son of Heman, and Jehiel, and Shimeel, and the sons of Judathan, and Shimei, and Uziel. And they gathered their brethren, and sanctified themselves, came according to the commandment of the king, by the words of the Lord, to cleanse the house of the Lord. And the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to clean it, and brought out the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord, into the courthouse of the Lord. And the Levites took it to carry it out abroad into the brook of Kidron. And they began on the first day of the first month to sanctify. On the eighth day of the month, they come back to the porch of the Lord. So they sanctify the house of the Lord in 8 days. In the 16th day of the month, they made an end. Then they went into Hezekiah the king and said, "We have cleansed all of the Lord and altar of the burnt offerings, all the vessels thereof, the shewbread table with all the vessels thereof. Moreover, all the vessels which King Ahaz in his reign did cast away in transgression have we prepared and sanctified. And behold, they are before the altar of the Lord." And Hezekiah the king rose early and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord. And they brought 7 bullocks, 7 rams, 7 lambs, 7 goats for a sin offering for the kingdom, for the sanctuary, for Judah. And he commanded the priests of the sons of Aaron to offer them on the altar of the Lord. So they killed the bullocks. The priests received the blood, sprinkled it on the altar. Likewise, and they had killed the rams, they sprinkled the blood upon the altar. They killed all the lambs, they sprinkled the blood upon the altar. They brought forth the goats for the sin offering before the king and the congregation, and they laid their hands upon them. That's the part I wanted to get to. He took the leaders of this city and said, "You are going to get involved in this." And he put the sacrifice on the altars, and he said, "You come over here and you put your hands on this." And they were identified with that sacrifice. Hezekiah brought back, after when Hezekiah put these things back in order, he was getting it prepared for the Passover. He was getting them prepared for token life. This message was given for us to have token life. It's not just having the words, brothers and sisters, it's having the favor of God upon us. Because whenever, and the thing that Hezekiah did, what did Hezekiah do to regain the favor? They were always a son, but they had to put things in order. The first thing he did, he begot the Levites. He said, "Levites, you've got to get clean. You've got to be able to stay clean." And that's why the message in this hour, why it's gotten such disarray, is because Levites have not gotten clean. What did Paul, the Apostle Paul, do whenever he heard this message? Whenever God called him, he got himself alone with God by himself for 3.5 years and said, "God, give me the revelation of this message." And then whenever he went and preached, he preached with that revelation because he was pointing towards something. He was gaining towards something. They weren't just going aimlessly, service to service to service. They were pointing towards something, brother and sister. And I'm asking you to examine yourself. Don't examine yourself and see, am I being like Hezekiah, where I'm putting things in order? I'm putting my life in order according to the word. Or I am using my life a life of service. We won't be much longer, but please catch this last two things. We all know these things. God redeems us in justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. In justification, whenever you ask God to forgive you, "God, forgive me of my sin," wonderful. But in sanctification, it's whenever you begin to train your mind toward the word and be set aside for service. But whenever you get into the Holy Ghost Himself, that purging of fire, it's whenever it is putting you in service. In part of this journey, where are you at? Have you been forgiven? Well, praise God. Have you been set aside for service? Praise God. Are you put in service? Because many people are staying right in sanctification so long, when it's all they're doing, "I'm set aside, I'm set aside, I'm set aside." At some point, we got to be put in service, where we can be the light to these people. These people that are out there, we are blessed because we've been given a message. These people out here are valiant men. But because of what they're under, they're limited on what they can do. We have been given a message that will lead us all the way to a body change. But as the prophet said, we don't even have faith for our toothache anymore. We don't have faith with... And we've got to have faith for our body change. We've got to have a faith for something inside of us where this body is going to be changed. You know, a lot of times I think we allow that to get so common in our mind that we just don't, yeah, it's going to happen. Kind of like, told my kids never live, we're going to Disneyland. We never took them. We're going to go to Disneyland. You know, they got the rides and stuff like that we've heard about. "Oh, right, Dad, we're going to Disneyland. Woohoo, we're going to Disneyland." Next day, "Daddy, when are we going to Disneyland?" "Well, it'll be when I can afford it." "Okay. One of these days, we're going to go to Disneyland."
All right, Dad, we're going to Disneyland. Hey, come here. Dad said we're going to Disneyland. We're going here. Woohoo!
A little bit of time goes on. We're going to go to Disneyland. Oh, yeah. We're going to Disneyland.
Right.
We're going to Disneyland.
Hey, we're going to go to Disneyland.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we're going to go to Disneyland.
Time after time, when you first heard about it, you were excited. We're going to take a body change. We got a prophet's message. We are going to take a rapture, and we all excited. 5 years. We're going to take a body change. There's going to be a rapture. We are going to take a rapture. Oh, glory to God.
10 years? 15 years? Oh, yeah. We're going to take a body change.
Tell me that ain't the truth. The urgency that you had inside of you when you first had that urgency, you were up and praying, you were seeking God, you were meditating God. Why? Because you were taking a body change. You know why they had the healings that they had in Brother Brenham's time? It's because of that urgency that they had. It didn't matter if it was raining, it didn't matter if it was snowing, it didn't matter what it was. They were there, they were diligent. God is going to heal me. And it was their diligence. Because of their diligence of doing that, true diligence, God, they found favor with God because of that diligence. And it was under the right thing. That's what I'm trying to get to. You got a message that's under the right thing, and because you're valiant men and you're doing the right thing, you're going to get a valiant reward. But people are under a wrong teaching, under the wrong word, and they can be valiant all they want to. Not going to take a body change. Because it's got to be under that right word. Because we know it's got to be that seed inside of you. You got to have that in the first place. And it goes back to that representation I've been talking about. I want favor with God. I don't know about you, but this guy on Daniel, it tends to allow you to get desensitized. You become calm. Not me. Bless God, I'm a believer. No, you too. Not meaning to, service after service after service. You're anxious because I'm fixing to take a body change. And because the body change doesn't happen, that zeal, that we're going to make a body change. Tell me that ain't the truth. God, help me to regain that zeal. Help me to set the things aside that takes away that zeal to where I can have a reverence before God where on a daily basis, God, I need favor with you. Because I want everybody that's under me and my family, I want them to have the blessings of God.
Yes.
I want this church to have the blessings of God.
Amen.
I want you to have the blessings of God. As much as I'd love you to have a whole pocket plumb full of money, I'd rather you know exactly where you are in the world. And if God can do that, then he can be talking money. Money is not wrong. As long as it ain't holding or holding you down. Scripture says it's the love of money. That's the root of all evil. It's not wrong to have a good career. And that's where a lot of things where the message church, that's where they kind of got it wrong. If you make money, you're wrong. It's not right. You can have money as long as you're doing it according to the word. But the most important thing is, do you have favor with God?
Amen.
Yeah. Let's all stand. Ask our musicians to come forth, if you don't mind. When things are going good and things are going fine, you can get by coasting through of just having an ordinary, average walk with the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, when trouble comes knocking at your door, when cancer comes knocking at your door, when death comes knocking at your door, average walk ain't going to do it. That's whenever that time comes, the stuff that you think that don't matter, all of a sudden you'll realize it matters. It's whenever trouble comes
And brother and sister, I don't want to find myself waiting for trouble to come. I want to conduct myself to where anybody that's under us, under the ministry of this church, when it comes, whenever they come, they can have confidence. I am going in a rapture.
Amen.
And that's as I've said probably four or five different times this morning, that's why I want to urge you with all of them that's in me. Listen to these words I'm saying. I want to urge you. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your pastor. That he will conduct himself in such a way to where the valiant men, when they're doing the valiant of everything can to battle, you will win battles. Because whenever Israel had to give David a weapon, how did they do it? Through Israel. They suffered the consequences. Ahaz had to get a weapon. How did they do it? Through the people. Pray for your pastor. God, help him to stay true, to keep going forward. I'm here to tell you something. Brother Tony won't tell you this, but I will. He's a man too. And Brother Tony, he's tired. Brother Tony's got to carry that sword, and sometimes that sword gets heavy. And he'll strike at something and say, we've got to cut this nonsense off. Cut this nonsense out. Cut this nonsense out. And then you'll think after service, then quit. But you have to pick the sword up again. Cut it out. Cut it out. Cut it out. Cut it out. Help him hold that sword up. And if he has to come across our path to give us a whipping, know that when he goes home, that man don't walk home and, boy, I tore them up today. No heart of a real minister would ever do that. But his heart would be heavy at home when he goes home and say, I had to say it again. I didn't want to have to say it like that. I didn't want to have to get firm with it. But I'm trying to get him somewhere. There's a body change that we got to take. We got to go here. We can't keep doing these things. We can't keep doing these things. The message said we can't do these things. This is the right way. May Tony be Hezekiah, that he says, we're going to do this, and put the sacrifice, and you say, come, put your hands on this sacrifice, you be identified with this blood that we've been given, because we are going to take a body change. Say amen. You have to. And your heart, in your heart of hearts, that is our motive in this walk. It is to take a body change. I know there's young people, listen, marriage and this job and this, it's beyond that, brothers and sisters. It's way down there. And if you'll keep your eyes on that, everything else will work out. But if you start looking down here, you're going to do like Brother Daniel was. You'll find out your fence is way wrong. So pray for the Levi. Pray for Brother Daniel. The times that I come, that Brother Daniel will always tell you the truth. Because if it ever comes where Brother Tony or Brother and I, Brother Tony or Brother or myself or any other minister, when they're preaching there, Brother Hughes, we'll call you out there too, brother. If it ever comes to the point, bro, you know what? I don't want to hurt your feelings. I'm not going to tell them. That's not love. Love is corrective. Love is saying, you know what, I love you, we're friends, but we got to get this thing right. Because if we don't get this thing right, listen to what I'm trying to say. If we don't get these things right, there can be valiant men in our congregation that are fighting a battle that need victory, and we could be hindering them from their victories. You think that ain't right? Look what Brother Brennan said. He said a bad attitude in a service can knock somebody out of their hands. A bad attitude. What in the world would somebody else's bad attitude have to do with them? It's because everything is not in order. God, help us to get things in order. Help
help us to focus. If you look, read further down the scriptures, you'll see that Hezekiah got the musicians in their places, and they began to play the music in order with clean hearts. And whenever the people would get up to sing, they would sing with pure hearts, all in one accord. It was a unity. And that's what God is wanting. He wants a unity in the bride, a unity in a service. Whenever you can get yourself in that unity, where you can find your part to play in that service. There ain't one person in this building that's meant to just go to church. Every single person in this building, you've got a part to play. You, listen to what I'm saying, you are an important part of the body. And your part is just as important as Brother Tony's or myself or the musicians. Your part is just as important. And if you're slacking off on your part of that body, you are affecting the rest of the body. That's right. We have to individually, each person, we must find our purpose in God and say, God, help me to do it cleanly. Lord, clean me. Clean my heart for this service that I can be utilized with you. Because when you do that, brother and sister, you are going to have favor with the Lord.
Scripture said it was sweet in his mouth, but it became bitter in his belly. In your belly is where you have to absorb it. And the scripture said that thou must prophesy before all kindred, tongues, nations. That's this side of rapture. And so John went in the strength, not of just the sweetness, but in the strength of the bitterness.
That's right.
That this message brings. And so the message brings things that are hard. Amen?
Amen.
But it's those hard things is what we need. You take a potter, he's not going to do any good if he doesn't put some pressure. And that clay has to give way to that pressure. We rejoice because God has sent us a prophet, sent Malachi. And if you go into Malachi 4, if you go into Malachi and you see Malachi 3 talking about John the Baptist, look at what John the Baptist's ministry consisted of, what he had to do. Malachi 4 talking about another coming of Elijah. And look what he has to do. Look what the message was to the Laodicean age. Had to say, you're blind, miserable, poor, wretched, naked, don't even know it. And so when you look at Malachi, you see there, he speaks of the purification of the sons of Levi. That's the ministry. And if there's one thing, if there was ever an hour where the ministry, as I was mentioning the other day, reading the quotes and things, that we all speak the same thing, if there was ever an hour that the ministry could be, had their walk straight, is right now, because we've been given a voice that can do that. But we have people nowadays that seem to think that they can correct the prophet. Even you may think, well, he just didn't understand. But I think, I had someone tell me yesterday, well, I realize I have stinking thinking. You heard that phrase. Well, you know what? If you have stinking thinking, the best thing you can do is find what the prophet said about it and change your thinking to that, even if you don't understand it. See, we have people that seem to think they can correct the prophet, but I want to remind you that when Brother Branham went past the curtain of time there, he saw all the millions running up and saying, our precious brother. And he said, I want to see Jesus. And they said, well, you're going to have to wait a little while. But he'll come. And when he does, he will come to you first because you were a leader here on earth. Right? How many remember the story? He said, when he comes, he'll come to you first. He said, and you'll be judged. And if you're accepted, and in one place when Brother Graham said that, he said, if you're accepted, which you will be, then all your people will go in too, will be accepted too. And Brother Graham said this, he said, well, does Paul have to come that way? And they said, yes. And he said, well, if Paul makes it in, then I will too. Because I haven't deviated one bit from what Paul said. How many remembers that? Brother Ram said that dimension was beyond sublime. Right? No lies, no falsehoods, no pains, no sorrow. A dimension, and in that dimension, we all shouted, we're resting on that. When he said, I preached just what Paul did, we shouted, we're resting on that. Nobody stood up and said, but wait a minute, we had to correct you when we were back on earth because you had some things wrong. Follow me? In that dimension, there was no correction. There's no need for it here either. What God needs for us to do is for us all to get underneath that voice, behind that word, and let that become who we are. And it'll make all the difference in the world. You know, the scripture says that if you put your hand to the plow, and then you turn around and then you look back, you're not worthy. Right? You know what it says? Why? I learned this as a kid growing up. My aunt said it. She knows we got to plow and till and so forth. And I learned at an early age to put your eyes on what's at the end of the row.
Yes.
Because if you don't, you're going to go all over the place.
That's right.
And the scripture said if you put your hand to that plow, you got a job to do. And that's to look at that end. Like that boy riding the swing bicycle. He stayed focused and he won the bicycle because he was watching the end. So when you do that, and I've tested it, I've tried it, you'll have a straight row as long as you keep your eye on that end.
That's right.
But the scripture said, if you're doing that and you turn around and look back, you're not even worthy. Now try to take home what it's saying. Why would you take your eyes off the end and turn around and look back? Even us as ministers, Brother Daniel, going and doing the missionary work in the different places and the years that we've labored. And it's all because of the grace of God. And we have no right to glory in anything that God has accomplished. It all goes to Him. There's no need to look back and see what you've accomplished. There's no need to look back and look at the sinful life you come from, wherever you're at. Don't look back, but just look straight ahead at what God has at the end. And if you can do that, you'll plow a straight road. That's what Brother Daniel's talking about this morning. Amen. That your ministry would plow a straight road. And that you would plow a straight road. Amen. And for the first time on this earth, we have a full message that provides us the ability to do that. But we have to stay with that word. Look at what's there at the end. Amen. Aren't you thankful? I've said it so many times, you probably get tired of hearing it, that as Brother Ram said, that woman at the well, she had representation. And Jesus said, I must needs go by Samaria. He had to go by there because of that representation that was in her. And I'm so glad that He said, I must needs go by Laodicea. Because there's a people there that's got representation that I must go visit. That's exactly what He's done. And it's been that makes the difference in our life. And you can be blessed. And I'll say this, and I'm not trying to preach up beyond Brother Daniel, but you have favor with God because you're the child of God. But if you want real favor, you got to be obedient. That's what we were talking about the other day. You got to be obedient. And if you're an obedient child, then you can be adopted. You can be placed. He won't place you until you grow up. Amen. So He could look at you as Brother Bram. I was thinking the other day, Brother Bram said that beats that gold. Beats that gold. Beats it. Until He can see His reflection in it. And I've always thought about me just looking at the Bible and being able to see my reflection in the Scriptures. But when God can work on you until He can see Himself in you. That's what it's about. And when Father could look at that son and see Himself there, then He knows He can say, Son, here's all the authority. I can just give it all to you and I can turn around and walk away, and I know that you won't abuse this spoken word ministry. Amen? That's where God's taking us. Amen. It's been wonderful. Let's just bow our hearts to You. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You this morning for the things that we heard. And Lord, I know the ministry Brother Daniel has, and he has times where you speak to him and there's discernment there. Always seems to fit just the right place, Lord, even speaking to me. Because, Lord, You know what the minister goes through, the times where he's discouraged and things like that. And we just want to say, Lord, we thank You for the things we heard this morning. We thank You for each one that's come out. And we're asking, Lord, that Your blessings of this word would just continue with us. Brother Daniel says so many times, may it fall on fertile ground, take root, grow up. We love You, Lord, and we thank You for this time that You've allowed us to have here today. We just ask that You go with each one now. We just ask these things in Jesus' name.